Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. I am your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, where I show you how to achieve your ultimate dream body on a 100% plant-based diet. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to this podcast. I have a very special episode series for you. I have on the line a very special guest. This is Mindy Collette. And let me tell you about Mindy a little bit. She's nothing short of phenomenal. I met Mindy a few months back at a trade show called the Vegan Health and Fitness Trade Show. It was the first of its kind in Los Angeles, California, and she really stood out from everybody else because she's got to be one of the most fit vegan females that I've seen. When I say fit, I mean she's just really got it going on. She's lean, she's tight, she's got muscle definition, she's strong, and just beautiful. She's a beautiful person. And she was one of the presenters at that event. And she's been vegan for 3 years, a little more than 3 years now. She's studying to get her degree and become a registered dietitian. And she's also a professional model and a professional fitness model. She's been working with several different very well-known fitness companies. She's also a competitive figure and bikini physique competitor. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Mindy and bring her on, and she's going to tell us about why she became vegan and the changes in her body since becoming vegan, and she's going to share with us her very best training and nutrition tips that allowed her to get the physique that she has today. So without further ado, let's bring on Mindy Collette. Mindy, how you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much, Thomas. How are you doing this morning?
Well, it's a beautiful cloudy day in Austin, Texas, but it's wonderful. And where are you? Oregon?
I am. I'm in Southern Oregon, Medford, Ashland area right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. And yeah. Before we came on, you said that you were doing some homework. And so I guess, what year are you, really fast?
I'm a little bit between my, like, second and third year as far as credits go. I still have some second year stuff to catch up before I can officially go into my junior. So I'm kind of in between right now. I had gone to school about 10 years ago and took a couple years off. So so I'm playing catch up in that way. But
so you're studying to be a registered dietitian. And once you become a registered dietitian, I mean, tell me what you think about this, but there was another speaker at the same conference that you were speaking at that he was a registered dietitian. And his whole talk was about how the stuff that you learn and that you have to – the stuff that you learn and the tests you have to take in order to become a registered dietitian, the information in there, a lot of it is just wrong. It's just downright incorrect based on the most cutting-edge knowledge, right? I mean, how do you feel about that?
I intend on facing a lot of that. I know that in labs and things like that, there's going to be situations that will come up. A friend of mine went through to become a pharmacist, and while she was in school, they wanted to dissect a rabbit, and she refused to do it, so they ended up getting her, like, a stuffed rabbit that she could work on. But it was a big deal for the school to change those protocols. So I think that it's going to be interesting the further I go. Right now, I'm really blessed because my chemistry teacher is very open-minded to veganism, and he's very accommodating. So we made soap yesterday, like in one of our labs, and he had me bring my own stuff so that I didn't have to use the lard or the goat milk or the beeswax, you know. So my soap was vegan, and it looks a lot different, but you know what? It's still soap, and it's still going to work. So,
didn't even think of that part of it. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. Like dissecting animals and things, like, even though they're already dead, right? But still, that's got – I mean, are you an ethical vegan? Or are you doing it for health reasons? Or are you both?
I am.
So are you like for an animal rights activist?
I am now. Yeah. At first it was health. And then once I started being aware and educated on what was happening, I quickly turned to ethical. So.
Wow. Wow. That's got to be tough. Yeah. I didn't even realize that. So, well, that's really cool. At least like your friend didn't have to end up slicing open a once living animal. That would be really hard. I know for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, so the point was when this gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he was really cool the way he laid it out. He was just really laid back about how going through the process of becoming a registered dietitian is because he wanted to get the cred. I mean, that's it. I mean, so he felt his stance was look, I've got information to share with the world, and it's different than the information that you have to learn and be tested on in order to get your registered dietitian credential. But the difference is, and I think this is what's going to happen to you, Mindy, is once you get that RD next to your name, the world's going to start listening to you.
Exactly.
A lot more, and give you a lot more credibility behind everything that you say. So get the credential and then teach what you want after that. Is that right?
Precisely. It's sort of a platform, so to speak, of which to get up on and be able to and share your information. And I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly what it is. So
right on. Yeah. Right on. Hey, you know, it's same thing with me. I've got the MS initials next to my name, and I've got all these different certifications with a whole lot more initials after that. And really, I found out that a lot of the stuff, I'd say close to 40% of the stuff that I learned, is just it doesn't work in the real world, and it's just not right. It doesn't work. And so again, I get the credentials and then teach what I want.
Precisely.
So. Very cool. Well, listen, let's talk about you and let's kind of hear your story a little bit about going vegan. Why did you become vegan?
Well, the first time I heard about it, really, I mean, genuinely, was I met Robert Cheek actually at a bodybuilding competition in 2009 in Bend, Oregon. It was the Bill Pearl. And he was just this long-haired blonde guy walking around backstage, super friendly, chit-chatting with everybody, you know, just being Robert Cheek. And we connected on Facebook. And over the course of a couple months, I was like, oh, what is this guy about? Like, who is he? And then I started realizing, like, oh, he's kind of a big deal. But I didn't know. You know, he was just so down to earth. So I kind of started looking into it. I had been vegetarian on and off before that. And at that point for that show, everyone told me that I had to eat meat, of course, because that's what the normal, you know, figure bodybuilding competition diet is.
Sure.
And I'm so sick. I felt terrible. And so the end of 2009, I was sick. And into the early parts of 2010, I was sick for about 9 months straight with bronchitis pneumonia, and that bout back and forth for about 6 months. And I ended up with a kidney infection, and that's when it
Whoa.
All changed.
Now, the only change you made was just eating all this meat?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at that point, everybody said you had to eat that. So I was eating meat, and I wouldn't eat dairy often because it hurt my stomach, but I would have meat and eggs and just, you know, a traditional American diet, really. So early 2010, I was like, I need to stop. This needs to end. And at that point, I'd had a little bit more interaction with Robert online through Facebook and things like that. And I was just so curious, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to try it. And went to the doctor for my kidney infection, and she told me to drop dairy and gluten like a bad habit. And I did, and I never picked them back up. Although now I can actually have gluten and I'm fine, ironically. It was really just the animal products.
Dairy,
that were
huh?
Part. Yeah. So with that, I just slowly did the cutout. I think the hardest thing for me in the beginning was cutting out eggs, just because they're in a lot of things. But the more I did it, the easier it became, you know? So 2010 was like a transitioning period, but definitely, I mean, I would say halfway through it, definitely by mid-June, I was done. I was like, there is no way I'm ever going back to anything. And that's when I started kind of learning a lot more. And I got a little packet from Robert Cheek, and in it was a Why Vegan packet. Mm-hmm. And I sat reading that for like 45 minutes, and I was just sobbing. I mean, it's a really, really short packet, but I just couldn't believe what I was reading, you know. And that's when I became an ethical. That's when the ethics started to come into it. I was like, I was completely shocked and horrified, really, by what all was happening. So
all right,
that's kind of my story transition.
So originally you went vegan because you were just feeling so sick. Your body just wasn't tolerating the large amounts of meat and animal products. And so you originally went off of the animal products because you wanted to feel better, and you started feeling better.
Uh-huh. Oh, immediately.
All right, great. And then it was after learning more about the suffering of the animals that made you feel, geez, I don't ever want to go back to being non-vegan.
Exactly.
So when you were – now, were you competing? You were competing in a contest? That's where you met Robert
Cheek? Yeah, I competed in 2009 in a figure show. It was my first one, and I came in second place, and the gal that took first place was actually a bodybuilder and figure competitor, so she was a lot larger than me, had a lot more muscle, so the comparison was pretty obvious as to why she won. I just wasn't that strong yet.
With these contests, sometimes it's not so much about how well you're prepared, it's just about who shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Who shows up and how hard they've been training, their size, all of that, because you can't control. All it is about height, so you can't control their weight. So someone might have 20 pounds of muscle on you, and you just have to get out there and do your best. So.
Hey, I know someone who won first place in a contest because nobody else showed up in her weight class. It was her first contest, and you know she didn't look the best, but she won.
There you go. That works. That works. That's funny.
Okay. Wow. That's quite a story. And so, first of all, how did you get into physique in these competitions?
That was actually the end of 2008. I was walking through my gym and there was a sign in the hallway and I saw this woman. She was a guest poser for a figure show that was happening in October. So I think it was like the beginning of October and it was like a week later. And I saw her and I was like, I want to look like her. So I talked to a trainer the next time I was in the gym and he was like, well, you're kind of already there. And I was like, really? I don't even work out that hard yet. So he put me on the diet plan, which is when I started eating meat again. And he put me on a workout regimen. And in that May, beginning of May is when I competed. So it was just kind of a quick, I was like, oh, I want to do this. Let's go. it wasn't really a thought out process, but it was very curious to me because I'd spent a lot of time growing up doing dance and things. So being on stage is second nature. So I thought, oh, it'd be a fun way to get back out there. They're a whole new ball game. They're fun.
And were you a vegetarian before you decided you wanted to compete in your first contest or get really fit for it?
I was. I had been vegetarian toward the end of my second year of college when I was about 18. I had done that, and then I got married actually when I was 19, and he was pretty adamant that I needed to eat meat. So I tried to eat meat with him. I got really sick, and then again when I did that show. So that show, let's see, 2009, that was 4 years ago. I was 22. So that's when I started to just kind of force myself to eat it, even though I felt horrible. So,
wow, you got married young.
I did. Yes. But that, you know, it's all a learning game. So
yeah, sure. But you've already experienced a lot in such a young age. So then, okay, so you were vegetarian and then mm-hmm. you got into eating meat so that you could look better, but then that got you sick. And mm-hmm. so then you got off the meat and then went 100% fully vegan.
I did.
Now you have a dance background?
I do. I started, my parents put me in dance when I was about 5 years old, and I danced pretty consistently till I actually went to college. That's what I was hoping to get my major in originally. I graduated when I was 16 and I went off to school and I did a lot of dance stuff as much as I could. And my second year I was a dance major. And then I kind of was like, wait a second, I don't really know what I want to do. You know, you're 18. I didn't really know what I wanted to do yet. So I kind of gave it a stop. And even just a year and a half ago, I was working with a local dance company in Ashland called Sharoon. They nourish the children. They do packets where they send, it's all nonprofit. So any of the money made from the events goes back into the, like the community or to foreign countries where children can eat. So I was really happy to support that. The dance style and the timing didn't really work out. So I've not been able to be dance for the last probably year and a half to 2 years though.
Well, when you're a teenager, you're growing up and you're going through the dance program. How many hours a day did you dance?
A lot. It was 5 or 6 days a week pretty consistently. And sometimes 7 days a week because I would be like in the Eugene Ballet Company Nutcracker. We would like Wednesdays, my mom would pull me out of school, I think at like 1 or 1:30, and we'd drive up to, we had like a 45-minute drive cause we lived in the middle of nowhere, and we'd drive up to my dance classes and it would be a good 3 to 4 hours, you know, just that day. And Saturdays were really intense. We had 8:30 to like 2, with like a 45-minute break. So I was always really active and I have a lot of energy. So it was very fitting.
Wow. It's like 2 to 3 hours. at a time. Holy cow. Okay, well, then there's no surprise why you're already in really good shape. I know a handful of dancers. I've been fortunate enough to be able to train some of the world's best dancers and dance coaches. We're talking Dance with the Star coach levels. And I know what they go through. It's intense. I mean, so when you came into that gym and you're talking to that trainer saying, "Hey, I want to look like a physique competitor," and he was like, "Oh yeah, well, you're almost there." There's no surprise why you were already there. I mean, you know, you've got years of training experience, whether you call it dance or it's training. You're physically going through a lot and putting your body through a lot, and it's adapting beautifully. So that makes a lot of sense. Of course. I mean, to get an hour workout in a day, that's nothing compared to what you were doing for dance.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, huh?
Okay. So I'm sure when you're growing up, and especially when you got a little older, people are probably, like other girls especially, are looking at you going, "Oh, that's not fair. She's probably got those genetics. She's just naturally thin." And meanwhile, you've been working your butt off for years. Since you were 5 years old, right?
Right. That's very true. Yeah. I was always really active. It was hard. I think at one point when I was around 18, I moved in with my brother. And at that time, all I was really doing was like Pilates at home. And I'd go for like a couple short runs during the week. And that was probably the worst, outside of when I was really sick at the end of 2009, in 2010 was the worst my body looked, those two times in my life, because I wasn't able to be as active as I had been. I didn't really, and at that time I didn't have my diet locked in. Now I feel like if I wasn't even able to work out all the time, I would still look okay because I'm eating good food. I'm eating food that nourishes my body and gives it what it needs. So I feel like I'd still look okay, you know, but when you're not eating a clean diet and you stop working out after you've been working out for so long, it's really obvious to you, you know?
Oh God, I know that very well. I have to, I do that willingly. And it's never easy because every time I create a program before I release it to the world, I test it on myself. And in order for me to give it a good test, I've got to decondition myself. And it's like a complete, to use the right word would be inappropriate, but it's a mind and then F word. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's so emotionally draining, and it makes me feel like such a piece of junk every time I have to decondition myself because, well, you don't know. I hope nobody really has to go through it. But I mean, have you ever had a really low point in your life where you've really let yourself go?
Yeah, I mean, so the end of 2009, I was eating vegan, but I ended up having to undergo a pretty major surgery that was causing some health complications. And at that time, I wasn't able to be active. And the recovery.
You mind if I ask you what it was?
Yeah, it's kind of a gynecological. It was a Bartholin gland cyst and excision. So it was pretty gnarly. I could barely walk for a while. I was laid up for about 2 weeks. It was pretty bad, and trying to get back into working out after that was really not that much fun. So my body went through some trauma, I would say, you know, during that. And that actual surgery was November or December of 2010. So it took some time. And it's funny because I did some photo shoots before and after and during that time. And it's so funny because I look at those and I'm like, oh, that doesn't even look like myself, because I just wasn't able to be active, you know. And that was probably the worst for me as far as feeling bad.
How long did that lay you out?
Well, I was down. It was hard for me to move for at least a week. Like, I needed help getting up, and about 2 weeks I was able to walk a little bit easier, but sitting was terrible. Things like that was just best if I could just lay down, but it was really hard 'cause I had to go back to work. And at the time I was working at a doctor's office, so I was like the front office person, and I had to be upright and pretending like I looked or felt like I, you know, was up to par. Even though I wasn't. And it was probably, I would say, at least the end of March before I was able to start lifting again. And I didn't start doing cardio, I don't think, until May. It was really pretty bad. My body really didn't adjust to that very well. I think it was just a lot of trauma. Any surgery that you have to have, you know, it's a lot for your body. So
sure.
Yeah.
Well, so you know, what was it for you like to get to come out of that? I mean, did you have to willpower it? Did you have support? How did you get yourself back on your feet?
Well, I at the time I had quite a few friends that were working out pretty consistently, and so even if I wasn't able to go with them, I just would kind of make it my plan, like, okay, I'm gonna go at this time and I'm gonna try to do whatever I can, whatever my body allows me to do. And I just continue to just slowly push myself. I'm one of those people that usually if I'm gonna do something, I go all out. So I had to really pace myself, you know, to make sure I really listened to my body. You know, it was a little difficult. I had some times where I didn't feel like going because I wouldn't feel good or something, but it was always worth it in the long run. You know, you get those endorphins going in your body and you feel like a totally different person after a workout. So it was slow going, but I think with the encouragement of friends and other people who just believed in me, you know, that encouragement was really good. I got through it.
Oh, that's great. Well, I'm really glad that you had that support. I know what it's like to not have the support of other people in your life. That's wonderful. Because I would you say that if it wasn't for them, you probably wouldn't have gotten back on your feet quite as quickly?
Definitely not as quickly. I think I would have still gotten there, but it would have taken me a little bit longer. It's just good to have that encouragement and people who are understanding, even if they can't empathize exactly with where you are. I think that's huge. So yes, friends can be literally lifesavers. So
I think friends enhance the experience. You know, mm-hmm. Friends help pull you out of a hole. And then once you're out, they help really motivate you and inspire you to want to stay out.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well put.
And we're going to wrap it up right there. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Mindy a little bit. She is just the sweetest person. And I want you to stay tuned for the next episode where she's going to break it down for you meal by meal, exactly what she eats to create that amazingly sexy physique that she's got. So stay tuned for that episode. And if you haven't already, make sure that you download your free copy of your muscle building ebook. That's the vegan muscle building ebook. Just go to veganmusclebook.com. And if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email at tom@veganbodyrevolution.com. Also join our Facebook page, facebook.com/veganbodyrevolution. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you feel that we deserve 5 stars, please on iTunes, give us a review. It really helps us get up there in the rankings and allow for us to reach out to more listeners. So I thank you so much. My name is Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com, and I will catch you on the next podcast.